Now, in an order last week, Governor Evers directed all public and private schools to close by today. The order comes as Wisconsin responds to the growing number of illnesses due to the global COVID-19 pandemic. Experts say limiting contact with others can slow or stop the spread of the illness, but the closure of schools will have a big impact on daily lives for students, teachers, parents, and childcare providers. Our next guest is here to share the latest on how districts around the state are managing worries about the coronavirus outbreak. Mike Thompson is the Deputy Superintendent of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Deputy Superintendent Thompson, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure.
Before we get into the impact of the decision to close schools, can you briefly tell us what went into this decision?
Well, I think that is a question most appropriate for answered by the Department of Health Services. But I can tell you what went into this decision was the governor in directing the Department of Health Services to close was related to the coronavirus and how schools can do their part in reducing the spread of this particular virus.
How are districts around the state handling this closure? What kind of things are you seeing when it comes to trying to cover instructional time, for example?
I will say I have been very impressed in the action districts have taken around addressing this particular issue. And as we all know, this came on very fast from Friday, late Friday, to the direction to close schools by the end of Wednesday of this week. Some districts decided to close earlier and closed on Monday. But districts have been working vigorously over the weekend and since then to provide how to provide continuity of learning activities for students, how to account for some of this instructional time loss that they know is going to happen. And they've done it in a variety of ways. Some are putting together virtual environments, some putting together packets for students. Not only are they trying to provide some continuity of learning for kids during this time, they're trying to figure out how they can keep kids fed who depend on schools, as you know, for being getting school lunches and school breakfasts at this time. So they have put some tremendous opportunities together for kids in a very short time, and they will continue to try to address this particular issue. As you know, the first emergency order directed schools to close Wednesday at 5 o'clock until April 6th. That now has been extended that schools will be closed for the duration of this public health emergency, which simply means that April 6th date is very fluid.
What kind of guidance are you working on from the Department of Public Instruction for schools who are maybe in some cases scrambling to try to figure out how to maintain, as you said, that continuity of instruction?
Yeah, we have a very, I think a pretty well-developed webpage around virtual learning and giving school districts a lot of resources around virtual learning. Last year when we had the polar vortex, many districts kind of went down this road of thinking about how do we provide learning for kids when we're closed for an extended period of time. Nobody could have anticipated this virus closing schools for this long, but many districts have been talking about over the last year how to provide these resources. The stories I hear from a lot of districts is the community is stepping up, how they can help to provide extended learning opportunities for kids as this goes on. So it's really been a kind of a collaborative effort in communities to see how they can meet these needs. I can't think of a district that's not thinking about how to provide some continuity of learning for kids.
We know we have some parts of the state with a lack of access to higher speed internet in rural areas, affordable internet also in some urban areas. Is that going to be a roadblock here trying to get equal access to education for all students?
Absolutely. That is one of the challenges districts face. Many districts have more resources to meet the needs of kids for a virtual environment, and some districts do not have that. It does create challenges. There are a lot of efforts trying to reduce those challenges, how to get more internet services to different areas, how to provide hotspots, so to speak, for people that don't have internet services at home, how to deploy computers where in the past computers weren't available. But it is a challenge, and it's not equitable across the state. And so districts are doing the best job they can to provide these particular resources. And some will actually provide resources in hard form. They've had times when people could come through the school building and drive through and pick up enrichment packets and different types of things. So the services they're able to provide will vary from district to district, and they'll do the best job they can to provide whatever they can during this really this unprecedented closing.
The state of Washington is sadly for them ahead of us in this story, and I've seen concerns there about students who are receiving individualized educational plans for one reason or another. What kind of questions are you looking at to make sure that those students don't get left out?
Yeah, that's a great question. That is one of the issues districts are now, that is one of the challenges districts are facing of how to provide to the best of their ability resources for all kids in this particular time, and how, and they're going to be talking about these issues over the next couple of weeks. As I mentioned, this just came about quickly, how they might possibly be able to meet some of the needs of our neediest kids that come to our school buildings. We're getting a lot of guidance, and we're getting a lot of questions answered from the U.S. Department of Education around how districts, different ways districts can meet the needs of kids. And they'll do the best job they can on this. I think it's pretty early to see how those needs are being met, but we're in constant collaboration with the U.S. Department of Education and how they can meet federal IDEA requirements and trying to provide as much resource to districts as we can in a short period of time.
We're talking to Mike Thompson, Deputy State Superintendent for Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction, looking at the impact of school closures and how districts around the state are responding. Deputy Superintendent Thompson, we have this mandated minimum amount of educational time, that X number of hours in a school year. That's going to be a problem, and I understand the state is offering waivers now to districts. How does that work?
There is a provisional law that districts can request the state superintendent for a waiver of those hour requirements and extraordinary conditions. If this doesn't qualify as an extraordinary condition, nothing does. And we will waive those hour requirements so districts can really turn their attention to how they can, to the best of their ability, provide some continuity of learning for kids. So we have decided that we would waive those if districts need to request a waiver from the Department of Public Instruction around those hours.
I know there are also concerns about federally mandated standardized testings. How does that fit into all of this?
Yeah, we don't know how long schools will be closed. They certainly, we are entering the testing window for our assessments for kids in grades 4, 8, and 10, and we will, there's two requirements under testing. There's a state requirement for testing under state law, and there's a federal requirement for testing. We will need to request a waiver from the Department of Education around the testing requirements at the federal level so we don't jeopardize any federal funding coming to Wisconsin. We are pursuing that waiver as we speak. In addition, we'll work with legislative leaders in the governor's office to look at how we can, the possibility of suspending the requirements under state law for assessments during this particular school year.
I know in a lot of institutions, not just in education, there's a question of, okay, are we deciding this at the local level? Are we looking up to the state to set our guidelines? Are we looking to the federal government? How much guidance are you looking to give to those individual districts from the state DPI?
We're trying to, at our particular level at the state, we're trying to coordinate with other state agencies and with the governor's office to get information to school districts and clarify that information as quickly as we can. The state, from my perspective, the other state agencies and the governor's office have been very responsive and accessible to clarifying questions as they come out. And sometimes the directives and the conditions change by the hour, and that we provide what is required at the state level. And local communities are doing it at the local level. They're the ones in the best position to decide how do we now meet the needs of our kids in our local community? How do we gather around that? We certainly get guidance and mostly recommendations from the federal level around continuously provide services to kids in the school environment. And we pass that along to school districts that in turn help them make local decisions on how they're going to serve their kids. So it's a combination of all three working together. And at the state level, I've seen a tremendous amount of collaboration between state agencies and a tremendous amount of collaboration in local school districts around what they can do to meet the needs of kids.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I'll let you get back to it.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Mike Thompson is Deputy Superintendent of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. He joined us today to share how Wisconsin schools are dealing with the statewide shutdown.